Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Recordati 2017 preliminary consolidated results and 2018 targets conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marianne Tacchi, Director of Investor Relations and Corporate Communications of Recordati. Please go ahead, madam.
Hello, good morning or good afternoon to everyone. Here with me today is Fritz Guindo, our CFO, who will be discussing and commenting upon our full year 2017 preliminary results and our 2018 targets. A set of slides has been placed on our website, www.recordati.com, under Investors and the Presentations tab, which you can access in order to follow our presentation more closely. I will now hand the call over to Fritz for his comments. Fritz?
Okay. Thank you, Marianne. Good afternoon or good morning to everyone. Slide number two of our presentation. We are pleased with our 2017 results, which confirm sales and gross margin in line with the first nine-month result. Consolidated revenue is 1,288.1 million, which are up by 11.6%. Let me underline that sales include also the consolidation of the Italchimici and Profarma, the two company that we acquired in 2016, and also the sales of metoprolol-based product that we have acquired from AstraZeneca, which are consolidated as from July 2017. Like-for-like, sales growth is 5.4%. We have also been impacted in 2017, in particular in the second half of the year, by our revenues being impacted by net currency exchange losses, which could be estimated in 12.4 million, which is 1.1%. Therefore, excluding this effect, the consolidation of the new product, the FX impact, revenue continued to grow by 6.5%. This excellent sales performance has driven a further improvement of our margin, EBITDA at 35.3% of sales is 454.7 million, and EBITDA up by 22.5% compared to 2016. Operating income, which now is at 31.6% of sales, is 406.5 million, an increase of 24.1%. Net income at 22.4% of sales is 288.8 million, an increase of 21.6% over the preceding year. Regarding our financial position, we will continue to have a very solid financial position. Net debt at the end of the year is 381.5 million, with an increase of 183 million compared to last year end, but this is after the distribution of dividend. We continue to have our payout ratio, which is 60% of our net income, but in particular, the acquisition of the product of AstraZeneca, and at the end of the year, the acquisition from Bayer of three products for an overall disbursement of 456.5 million. Excluding this, we continue to generate cash flow, and we continue to have a cash conversion, which is 1:1 with our net income. We are very pleased with our financial result, but I would like also to underline the important initiative and transaction concluded 2017 for the growth and development of our group. We have listed this in our slide. Let's remember Cystadrop, an orphan drug indicator for the treatment of ocular manifestation of cystinosis, which was approved by EMA in January, a new product in our orphan disease, in our treatment of rare diseases. An important agreement was signed with the Mayer Hospital in Florence for the development of the treatment of drop, retinopathy of prematurity. This is also in the rare disease environment. In May, we have acquired the European rights to AstraZeneca metoprolol-based product, which will contribute to a significant reinforcement of our presence in all these markets. An agreement was signed with MimeTech for the development and subsequent global marketing of a new compound for the treatment of neuropathic keratitis. This is also in the rare disease environment. In July, we have obtained Reagila, which is an innovative antipsychotic that we have under license from Gedeon Richter, was approved at EMA. And we expect to start launching this product in 2018. In December, three gastroenterological consumer health products were acquired from Bayer for our French market. Then, fully financial results, important initiative undertaken and concluded for the development of the group. 2017, very good results. If you want to go more in detail on our results, on slide number three, we can follow and analyze the sales of our main products. We are very satisfied with the positive performance of all our corporate products, which the metoprolol-based product acquired from AstraZeneca were added as from July, as I said at the beginning. Let's start with Zanidip, that can be in a plane. Sales grow by nearly 6%. Sales of Zanipress, we are talking about the combination of lecanidipine and enoxaparin, are essentially flat as expected. There is a generic entry in Germany and Italy, but the overall sales of the lecanidipine franchise are nearly 190 million. Then solid performance, and we continue to have a stable, slightly growing performance on the franchise of lecanidipine. Urorec, phylodosin, generated sales of 92.8 million during the year, up 8.9%, and this is due to the good performance of the product in all the main markets. We are now commercializing this product in all the European markets. Sales of Livazo are 39.2 million, up by 11.7%, due to the good performance of the product made in Spain, Greece, and Switzerland, and also to the launch in Turkey and Russia. As I said, in June, the agreement with AstraZeneca for the acquisition of metoprolol-based product in Europe was concluded. Revenues generated by this product in the European countries covered by the agreement are consolidated as from 1st of July and are 47 million at year end. This product contributes significantly to the general growth of our subsidiary, but in particular, contribute to our growth in Germany, Poland, France, Czech Republic, and Romania. Then we have the other corporate product, which grow overall by 13.4%. A major contributor to growth in the period are the anti-infectives sold in Russia, and also the inclusion in the OTC portfolio of a line of gastroenterology products based on Lactobacillus euxeri, mainly sold in Italy by Itachimich. But also these solid established products are growing double digit in 2017. Let's finish with our specialties indicated for the treatment of rare and orphan diseases, which generated sales in 2017 of 211.2 million. With an increase of 13.1%, thanks to the good performance of all the business in all the areas. And then we confirm our drug of rare diseases to continue to have a double-digit growth. Slide number four, this graph shows, as usual, the breakdown of our revenues by type of product. Corporate product, including the rare disease, now account for 66% of revenue, with the inclusion of metoprolol franchise acquired, as I said, from AstraZeneca. Slide number five, sales in our main markets show continued growth. Let's start with sales in Italy, include the revenue generated by Italchimici. We were consolidated as from 1st of June. Pharmaceutical sales in France are up by 9.2%, mainly due to the good performance of Urorec, Metadone, and also some extra good, the brand of our combination in France, for which we have not we have not yet facing due to face the generic competition in France. In addition, we have also the sales of Lercan Idipina Plain, which is now sold recently by our subsidiary following the termination of the license agreement with our licensor. Also, the treatment for rare diseases are growing in France. Germany, in Germany, sales are up by 21.1%, mainly thanks to the significant growth of Ortoton and also of Lercanidipina, and also to the sales generated by the metoprolol-based product acquired from AstraZeneca. And as I said, it is and will be an important driver for the growth of our business in Germany. The group pharmaceutical business in the USA is probably everyone knows is only dedicated, is exclusively dedicated for the treatment of rare diseases, and is growing by 8.4 in 2017, and excluding by 11.04 in local currency, because we've been in the second part of the year negatively impacted by the exchange rate in the U.S. market. Revenue generated in Russia, Ukraine, and the other CIS market is 107 million, which are up by 34.6%, which include also an estimated currency exchange gain of 9.8 million. Sales in Russia in local currency are up by 20%. Overall, a very good performance in both euro-denominated, but also we continue to have a significant double-digit growth of our business in Russia. Sales in Turkey are slightly down in euro, but include an estimated negative currency effect of 17.7 million. In local currency sales of our Turkish subsidiary grow by 24.8%. Here again, very solid and continued growth of our business in this market. Then we have sales in other Western European countries, include direct sales in Switzerland following the acquisition of ProPharma AG, again the company that we have acquired in 2016, and also include direct sales to market of our corporate product previously sold by licensees. Let's finish the presentation with the sale in Central and Eastern European countries, which benefit significantly from the consolidation of metoprolol-based products acquired from AstraZeneca. But overall, good performance in all our territories due to organic development and also the consolidation in some important market of the metoprolol sales. The slide number 6, this graph shows the geographical breakdown of our pharmaceutical revenue. No major changes because we have had a development in all the major markets. Let's now move on slide number 7 for our P&L result. We have already analyzed our revenue for the period. Let's now move on the gross profit. Gross profit in the period is 905.4 million with a margin of 70.3% on sales. An improvement over that of the preceding year, which is due to the further growth of product with higher margin and also to the positive effect of the metoprolol-based product acquired from AstraZeneca. Selling expenses at 25.7% of sales increase less than sales and are therefore down as a percentage of revenue thanks to the increased efficiency of the group commercial organization. We continue to increase our sales, keeping essentially stable our selling organization. R&D expenses are 100.3 million, which are up by 19.8% compared to those recorded in 2016, and this is due essentially to the starting of new development programs, This is also due to the amortization of the acquired rights of the metoprolol-based product, and also important to the agreement with Nimetech for the development of the new compound for the treatment of neuropathic keratitis, for which we have signed the agreement for having this right in 2016, and we have paid an amount of $7 million as upfront payment, which was fully charged to the P&L. G&A expenses are up by 1.2% by diminished as percentage of sales to 5.1%. Here again, we try to keep the same organization for managing a growing environment, a growing business. Net other expenses significantly reduced as compared to that of the preceding year, due essentially to the extraordinary cost incurred last year following the due to the reorganization of the acquired company, Iperchimici and Profarma. Let's now move on to the net financial charges, which are $17.4 million, which an increase on $7.2 million compared to the preceding year, which is due to the interest of the new medium long-term loan granted, but also to a higher currency exchange rate losses, mainly in the second part of this year. The effective tax rate during the period is 25.8%, slightly above that of the same period of the previous period. Net income at 21.6% of sales is, as I said at the beginning of the presentation, $288.8 million, and we are increasing our net income by 21.6%. Then, solid performance because we are growing our margin by more than 20%, 24.1% operating income, 21.6% net income. Slide number 8 shows the split of revenue and EBIT between our two business segments, and EBIT margin are 46.3% for the rare disease, 46.3% for the rare disease segment, and are 28.7% for the primary and specialty care segment. This is in line with the what we have been achieving in the first 9 months, and it's important to underline that both the two business units are growing in terms of margin. The financial position very solid. As I said, at the end of the year, the net financial position show a net debt of $381.8 million. Then we have, considering that we have, as I said, invested $456.5 million for the acquisition of the metoprolol rights, for the acquisition of the product from Bayer, and also we have paid the dividend last year. Then solid financial position and solid cash flow generation. Let's now move on our target for 2018. Then let's start with some assumption, and then we will present our number and our expectation in terms of margin. Then sales overall are expected to grow between approximately 5% and 6%. Target sales includes obviously the consolidation as from July 2017 of the sales of metoprolol-based product acquired from AstraZeneca. Therefore, on a like-for-like basis, low single-digit growth in this number is implied. I would like also to underline that in our sales projection, we have included an estimated negative currency effect impact of around 2%, which are mainly linked to exchange rate between euro and US dollar and between euro and Turkish lira. We expect to have a negative impact, which could be estimated in something which is around 2%. And we have also estimated another 2% impact from generic competition, which is attributable mainly to the competition for the full year for the generic of Zanipress, which means our combination of Lercanidipina and Enalapril, and of the entry of a generic competitive which compete against our product in the US, which is Cosmecec. Overall, these two major generic competitive environment could have an impact in our sales projection, which could be estimated in around 2%. Let me again, as usual, underline that these targets do not include any further acquisition, which remain an important pillar for our growth, and it's our intention to continue to pursue our bolt-on acquisition. Then, as usual, we have defined sales targets based on the organic development, not including the contribution that we expect to be linked to our acquisition strategy, which we intend also in 2018 to continue to pursue. On slide 11, let's have a look on more in detail on the sales projection, and here we can say that sales of our Lercanidipina-based products, Zanipip and Zanipress, are expected to be in around 175 million, which is a bit less than what we have achieved in 2017, mainly driven by the expected competition from generic for the full year, and in particular in France in 2018. But as usual, in our projection for Lercanidipina combination, we try to be prudent in the projection of our sales. Regarding the other product, our corporate product, we continue to expect Urorec to grow mid-single digit to around 100 million euro sales, while sales of Livazol are expected to grow by more than 10% in 2018. Then our corporate product, not impacted by generic, we expect to continue to grow. The Metoprololol franchise, which is essentially Sirocaine and Lovimax, is expected to generate sales of around 100 million euros, which is important because we are now stabilized the business, the franchise, and in some selective market we expect also to grow. And this is mainly in the Central and Eastern European business. Then we have also an important fact next year, which is the launch of Reagila. We expect Reagila to be launched in Germany in April. The bulk of the other launches will take place toward the year end and starting 2019, but we have included only in our estimate only the sales linked to the German launch. We will see, we are now strongly engaged in the market access, and we will see going during the year if we can anticipate some launch in other important markets. Then we have our business for the treatment of rare diseases. Sales of products for the treatment of rare diseases are expected to grow high single digit, excluding currency effect, which is linked to the US dollar, because the US dollar negative impact is mainly linked to this business. Let's now move on the number, because in slide 12 we have our number in terms of target 2018. I would like to underline, as we have stated in our title, that we expect margins to continue to improve, EBITDA at 36%, EBIT 32%, and net income at 23%. Then let's comment this number. The expectation is to achieve sales of between 1.35 billion and 1.37 billion, And again, no acquisitions are included in this target, although we are strongly committed to an ongoing acquisition strategy in order to accelerate our growth. Margin, as I said, are expected to continue to improve. In absolute value, we expect to achieve an EBITDA between 490 million and 500 million, which, and in terms of EBIT, we expect to achieve EBIT of between 430 million and 440 million, and net income of between 310 million and 315 million. Let's also say that in our projection for the full year, we have considered 8% and 8.5% of sales are expected to be allocated to R&D. Then we expect to continue to grow and to maintain our margin. Slide number 13. Here we have a financial projection for 2019. This is our financial projection based on the current business without the acquisition, and in 2019, we expect organic growth to be in between 3% and 5%, in a range between 3% and 5%. It's important also to say that we expect that margin achieved in 2018 are expected to be sustainable, then with the improvement achieved in 2018 will be sustainable going forward. We confirm our cash flow payment, payout payment, which is 40%-60%, and then we continue to be strongly committed to reinvest our the free cash flow that remain in the company to accelerate the growth. And we are also, important, committed to strongly pursue the bolt-on acquisition and also to continue to develop the rare disease pipeline, as we've been able to do in 2016 with the contract we signed with MimeTech, with the Mayer Hospital, and so on. Then, financial projections, which are based on organically performance, which is solid, which is growing, which is impacted in 2018 by the FX effect, but we expect to continue, excluding this effect, to continue to grow by 3%-5%, to which, as I said, we continue to be strongly committed to make bolt-on acquisition, because we have room in our organization to be able to add new product linked to acquisition without a significant increase in our cost structure, which will be a way for accelerate the growth and keeping even slightly improve our profitability. Thank you for your attention. I'm now available for any questions you may have.
Operator, could you please open the question and answer session?
Yes, thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Casey Haricotla with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys, for taking my questions. I have one. On the Metoprolol franchise that you've acquired from Astra, you're guiding to sales of 100 million in 2018, which is around 4%-5% growth from 2017. When this franchise was with Astra, it was declining by around 5%-6% every year. Can you talk about what drives this turnaround for the franchise? Is it because you're entering into new geographies, or is it because you're planning to take price increases, or is it just because of better execution? Thank you.
Okay, then. We are not enlarging the geography, then this is essentially due to execution, which is not better execution compared to AstraZeneca. I don't want to compare Recordati with AstraZeneca. It's just linked to promotional activity that we have decided to put behind the product in a selective way, not involving a strong activity of our sales organization, but with a selective approach in terms of promotional activity, in particular in some markets, we expect to stop the erosion and to start growing the franchise. then it's not an enlargement of the geographies, it's mainly driven by our activity in terms of sales and marketing activity behind the product.
Thank you.
The next question is from James Vane-Tempest with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks so much for taking my questions. Just wondering, in your guidance, what kind of pre-launch costs there are for cariprazine, if you can help us try and understand the ramp-up of that, if that's happening. And then apologies if I missed it during the presentation. When you talked about genericization impact, is that Zanipress or are there any other products we need to be aware of? And similarly, are there any products where licenses are being terminated this year which we need to take into account? And then finally, when do you think we might be able to get an update on your next three-year business plan? Thank you.
Okay, then. Regarding cariprazine, regarding Reagila, we have included in our business, in our target, only the sales which are linked to German market, because we expect to launch in Germany in the second quarter of this year, but we have included all the cost which is related to the market access and the pre-marketing activities, because even if we expect to launch the drug at the end of the year, we have to start doing pre-marketing and the market access from the beginning of the year. Then we have not included the full cost for the promotion, but we have included a large part of the cost which are linked to the pre-marketing and market access activity for Reagila. In terms of sales, we have included only the German one, and which means that we have only initial sales for Reagila in our target 2018. The second point was linked to the generic. As I said at the beginning, we expect when I presented our financial projection, we expect some impact from the full generic presence of the competitor of our combination, and this is mainly in France, because for the time being, regarding the combination, we can say that the Zanipress generic competitor has been already launched in Germany and in Italy. In Italy, we have reduced the price to a level near to the generic price. In Germany, we are now in the competition to obtain and to gain tender, while in France, generics are expected soon, has been already approved, but not yet on the market. But frankly speaking, we expect soon also in France generic to come. Another product for which we had to face generic competition, which is important in our projection, is the generic competition of Cosmegen. Cosmegen is a U.S. product in our franchise for the treatment of rare diseases. The competitor is already in the market, and we expect our business in the U.S. to be impacted by this generic competition for Cosmegen, with an impact that could be estimated in the region of $10 million. But these are the two major generic risks that we have to face in 2018, one in the primary specialty business and the other is in the rare disease environment. Overall, we expect this to have an impact of around 2%. And the third question was regarding termination. There is no termination or major termination in 2018 which could have an effect, a negative impact in our projection, in our sales.
Poi quando facciamo il 3-year business plan?
Okay, now we have given an indication regarding our organic projection in 2019, and probably we will update the 3-year business plan by the year end, beginning 2019.
That's great, thank you.
Ciao.
The next question is from Jo Walton with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A few questions, and I apologize. Our line was a little bad, and so you may have given this information, but I couldn't quite hear it. To start with, I wonder if you could split out the 11.6% sales growth that you had in 2017 roughly into what the impact of currency was and what the impact of acquisitions was, so that we can get an idea of the like-for-like in 2017. My second question is to ask about the impact and the profits in 2017 of restructuring charges to put all of your acquisitions together. You noted, I think, that there was some headwind from that, which wouldn't be appearing in 2018 and was one of the reasons the margins might go up. My next question is just to understand on the generic side, you think that there could be up to a 10 million euro impact for Cosmogen generics. Is that effectively eroding the whole of the product? So is that roughly the size of the product, or is that a product where you would expect to retain a significant level of sales, perhaps at a lower price?
Okay, let's start with the first question, which was the split of our 11.6 growth in 2017. Then we have, on a like-for-like basis, the growth was 5.4, which has been already impacted by 1.1 due to currency effect. Then, excluding the consolidation and excluding the FX effect, the organic growth would have been 6.5%. The other is linked to 5.1 is linked to the consolidation of at the beginning of the year Italchimici and Profarma in the second half of metoprololol based product.
5.4.
Then in 2016 we have no cost for restructuring, because the reorganization of the two companies acquired in 2016 was fully charged to the P&L in 16, and no cost for reorganization in 17. Regarding generic erosion, we expect $10 million to be the erosion, and we expect to keep part of the value because we expect generic competitor to enter, but not very aggressive. Then we expect an erosion, and because keeping part of the value of the business.
And then looking at 2018, you're expecting like-for-like sales growth then of 3-5%, and then presumably we should add on top the acquisition effect, that which is almost another 5% of the second half of putting in Italchimici and the full year effect of the Bayer business. I'm just trying to understand how that 3-5 is there. I understand the foreign exchange element, and I understand that there's an erosion from generics, but I would have expected the overall number to be a bit higher, because it's about 5% we get from the residual element of acquisition. And my final question is just to ask about cariprazine in Germany. Do you have any information on when you will have an IQWiC decision on this? I know that you have an opportunity for a period of time to sell it at whatever price you like and get it established, but do you know when IQWiC are likely to come out with a view as to whether this provides a significant advantage over other cheaper generic products?
Okay, then. The question regarding sales, I would like to comment again that for the full year 2018, we expect sales approximately to grow overall, including any effect by 5% or 6%, which include, based on the new product, the consolidation of product acquired only Metoprololol, because Itachimici was acquired in 2016, Profarma was acquired in 2016. Then,
I apologize, I meant Metoprololol and the bioproducts.
For Metoprololol, okay, the buyer is not, we are talking about, because for a certain period of time we have only the margin, we are under a service agreement with them, and it's not significant. But let's say if we exclude the two, Metoprololol and Bayer, as I have already stated, we expect low single digit, due also to the 2% impact of the currency FX impact, and also another 2%, which is attributable to generic competition. The second point is enough, Joe?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. The second question was.
Cosa che ha detto di Ingio?
No, terzo.
No, ha chiesto due.
Regarding cariprazina, we expect a quick decision because we expect to launch the cariprazina in the second queue based on this rule that you can launch at the price that you want, and then you have to go through the renegotiation of the price. Then we have included in our plan only the German, because we expect a quick decision and we expect to be able to launch cariprazina in the second quarter of this year based on this procedure which is in place in Germany.
And you'd expect the rest of the rollout of Europe then to take place in 2019?
We expect second half 18, beginning 19. Then it's very difficult to predict the real timetable when you have to negotiate with the healthcare organization. Germany is a different point, is a quick decision. All the other, we are in the process, we are building our market access dossier, and let's say that we expect second half, beginning 19, the period in which we could launch cariprazina in the major European market. But some launches are expected in the second half of 18.
Thank you.
Okay.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone.
Okay.
The next question is from Thomas Guillot with Kepler Chevreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. One, if I may, on your negative FX currency effect for next year, could you give us some input on the split between the US and the emerging market? You had really strong negative currency effect for 2017 in Russia and Turkey. I just would like to have some more flavor on that. Thank you.
Do you want to know the split between emerging markets, essentially Turkish business and U.S. in our FX effect? Let's say that we expect probably 40% in the U.S. market and the other part more linked to emerging markets.
This is in 2018.
Yeah, in 2018, yeah.
Yes, this is in 2018, yes.
Okay.
It's enough?
Yes, yeah, that's correct.
The next question is from Bruno Permutti with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I wanted to have, if it is possible, your assumption for 2019 for the pipeline, the product pipelines you have. So in the guidance you gave, I wanted to understand if you included also a contribution from Fortasin, from Graspa, from other drug for rare disease under development, and if you can confirm us that on cariprazina you see a peak peak sales of around 100 million, and also as for cariprazina, if you could give us an indication of what could be the weight of the German market on the total sales you expect, and if I may, a second question related to possible fiscal optimization that you are looking for. You have a quite low tax rate, but if there is there are some elements that you are considering for a further fiscal optimization in 2018 and 2019.
Okay, thank you for your question. Regarding cariprazina, let's say that in general, in our 19 projection, we have included also products belonging to our pipeline. The major contributor for the growth is cariprazina. We have initial sales also for Tafin. Regarding the treatment of rare diseases, we have not included sales from Grasto because the product is under discussion with the EMA, and we are including some initial real minor sales based on named patient use for some of our products in our rare disease franchise. But the real important product for 2019 is cariprazina, for which we expect, as I said, the launch in Germany. Germany this year, we have included the target, which is only initial sales, and we expect in Germany initial sales which are between 3 to 5 million. But we confirm that our evaluation of expected peak sales for the product could continue to be of something which is around 100 million euros. And we are now focusing the activity linked to cariprazina in the preparation of the market access dossier. But we have included, and cariprazina is a growing product in our 2019 projection. While the other products, Nimetec, are less important because we are in the initial phase of the development, and we have, as I said, only included some sales which are allowed for this particular drug under a particular program which are under a named patient use. Regarding the tax rate, let's say that we have now achieved one tax rate in 2017, which was 25.8%. We continue to expect our tax rate going forward to be in the range of 25-26%. We expect to have a minor positive effects from the tax reform in the U.S., but based, let's say, on the mix of company on corporation, our expectation is to continue to have a tax rate which is in the range of what we have been achieving over the last 3-4 years. And we are, but in this number, we have not included any positive effects linked to so-called patent box in Italy, because the agreement, not only for Recordati, but for all the pharmaceutical companies, has not yet been signed. That could be a positive impact, but this is more linked to an agreement with the General Entrate, and we have not yet signed this agreement. And no, we have not included possible benefits from the patent box in Italy.
Thank you.
Bye.
The next question is a follow-up from Jo Walton with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. You have referred a number of times to your wish to continue to do bolt-on acquisitions. I just wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the environment at the moment, whether you feel that There are plenty of opportunities that you can look at and where these might be coming from. Are you expecting to be able to do the same sort of deal as you did with AstraZeneca for Seloken, where Big Pharma is looking to streamline assets and therefore there is the opportunity to pick up odd brands or franchises? Or what are the areas that you are most hopeful that you may be able to make acquisitions with?
Okay, thank you, John. Ben. Yes, we are strongly committed in this bolt-on acquisition strategy because it's an important way for adding to a organic growth, to have an acceleration of this organic growth. Then we are now very well recognized as a solid and reliable buyer in this environment. Let's say any company, any big pharma or even small pharma, they want to sell, they try to contact Recordati because we have a solid experience also in managing the integration, because one thing is to buy and one other thing is to be able to integrate. Regarding the market environment, there are some opportunities, but here again, it's a confidential situation. I cannot comment on opportunities that we are looking for, but there are some opportunities, and as usual, linked to big pharma decision to divest or other opportunity. What can I say? That we continue to be focused, in particular on the primary specialty care, on the European business, we would like and we hope to be able to find some opportunity which could be more in the metoprolol style rather than in the buyer was only a local opportunity for a gastroenterological product in France, but we are mainly looking for product with sales which are not only in one market but are sales in a major market and in many markets in Europe. Then we are optimistic, we are committed, we have competencies for doing this kind of deal, we are recognized as a solid buyer, we have financial resources for doing the acquisition, we have also space in some of organizations, selling organizations for adding other products, then which means that we are prepared to do some new to follow some other new opportunities. But it's important that this acquisition can fit very well with the existing organization because the value creation is linked to our capacity to add and to integrate in the way of reducing the variable cost, the selling cost which are linked to this market. Then the answer is we are committed and there are opportunities and we hope to be able to pursue some and to sign an agreement in 2018. We are actively scouting for being successful in this environment as we have been able to do 16 and 17.
Ms. Tachke, Mr. Squindo, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attendance and goodbye.
Goodbye.